baby. We might share with Katie and Tim, amen. But we having a girl, amen. Katie and Tim claims they having a baby, but you know, we done got Michael Ray. We're going to take her next, amen. Ella May is going to be your name, amen. We excited about that, amen. Good to be in church. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with us to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Good to see you with us, amen. Good to have our visitors with us today. Amen. Good to see my sister back there, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter number 3. Verse number 1 is where we'll begin. We'll read down through verse 19. And we'll give you what the Lord's give us for today. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Everybody got it?
Amen.
What's the first word there?
Now.
Now, Peter and John, I'll give you a little outline for the passage here. I won't preach this outline, but you'll see as we read this thing in these 19 verses, a little bit within the chapter also, we'll see the condition of the afflicted. This is this lame man at the temple. You'll see the confidence of the apostles, how they were confident to give them the Lord and what the Lord could do in their lives. And then with his condition and that confidence, the change of the assembly took place. And boy, that's what we need, is people with confidence to reach out to the condition of this old world that'll change the assembly. Amen. But verse number 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So there's a specific time, a specific place. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Ain't it amazing this old lame boy sitting outside the temple asking alms? I don't know how many days he had laid there, or weeks or years. He had asked alms of people that went into the place of worship, begging for some money. And that day he got more than he asked for. Amen. And the Lord raised him up. You know what's amazing about it? They wasn't no healing line. They wasn't an offering took up. Amen. They wasn't some big show made by the world to try to get attention to themselves. It's just two humble servants of God going down to the house of God and seen a need and reached out their hand and helped this individual by the power of God. The Bible said, and he leaping, verse number 8, up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? But," he said in verse 13, "the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God have raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I woke that through ignorance ye did it, as also your rulers. But those things which God before have showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Jesus should suffer, he have so fulfilled. And he said in verse 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Brother Jeff Thomas, would you pray for us, brother?
Great Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to see how it's going, Lord. Just thank you for a beautiful day, Lord.
Yes, God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Help us, Lord,
help you, people.
Pray, dear God, you can touch the man.
Thank you to the hearers.
Bring forth your word, Lord. The word of life, Lord, we go out and
Lord. Yes, God.
Come speak hearers of the word, the doors also, Lord. Touch, Lord, if there's anyone here lost, Lord. Touch their heart today, Lord. They may ask to be saved, Lord, in Christ's name.
Amen. The Bible said in verse number 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now the book of Acts is certainly, as any student would know, a transitional book where you see these signs and wonders and miracles. And even the place of worship was different, where they went to the temple, where we now meet at local assemblies, what old timers called the meeting place, because they expected to meet with God. Amen. But they went at a specific time. And there was a great miracle that took place. And I'm here to say that God still works great miracles. Amen. Amen. It is through the power of God that people are saved from an old devil's hell, and their names are written down in heaven. What a greater miracle can be done than something that could change your life forever. Amen. And salvation is a change forever. I want to take this little thought here in this passage here spiritually and preach on this thought. Going to the house of prayer. Going to the house of prayer. They had met out at the temple at this time, which was their house of prayer. When we meet in the local assembly today, when we gather together, what Jesus called a house of prayer. In his day, many a people had made the house of prayer a den of thieves. They'd made it mockery. They'd made it a type of merchandise and making money. Instead of what it was meant to be, was to meet with God and pray and seek God and get instruction to function out in this world for God's glory in kingdom, amen. But the meeting of the house of prayer is a very specific place. It's a very important place. Hey, Christian, a Christian needs to realize that going to the house of God and worship, amen, there's more to life than just going to church. Hey, church is a part of the Christian life, but there's more to the Christian life than just going to church services. Hey, you know what? By the way, the devil wouldn't really mind if you went down to church if that's all you did. If all you did was meet and hear what was said and go back out the same way that you come, it's not going to disturb the devil at all. But if you ever go down to the meeting place in one day, I don't know how many days this old boy laid at the gate there, at that temple, that place of worship, that house of prayer. He didn't bother the devil at all. But that day when God came and changed his life and he gave heed to what the men of God said, hey, the devil got interested in that boy's life. Amen. And if you ever sell out to God, the devil's going to get interested in your life. Amen. Devil doesn't mind us going through the motions. Many people go through the motions. They go sit on the pew, listen to the music, hear the sermon, and go back out the same way like they never heard a thing. But let's look at Peter and John here. And through the blessed book this morning, we can see how they went down to the temple and get some application of how we ought to go down to the house of prayer. And I say, number one, they went. Hey, that's a big step, amen. Hey, they went. The Bible said, and now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour. That's, of course, verse 1 again. The hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They went to church. Hey, you know there ought to be a specific time and specific days in your life where you assemble to worship God. Now, I know that's kind of not popular today, especially with COVID and everything that's going on, and people don't see the importance of the house of God, but I believe the house of God is an important place.
Amen.
Hey, God set up the local assembly where God's people could come and worship the Lord, amen. Hey, there was a specific time, amen. Hey, there was a designated time, amen, that was set aside for their house of prayer, and we had designated times where we meet with God. Hey, by the way, according to the Word of God, God has set it aside the first day of the week for a specific day of worship. Sunday, amen, the day our Lord resurrected from the dead. Hey, Sunday, the day the Holy Ghost came down on Pentecost. Hey, Sunday, the way the early church in the book of Acts met to worship God. Hey, Sunday, the way the Corinthian church was exhorted to bring in their offerings on the first day of the week, hey, to worship God, amen. Hey, Sunday is still a good day to worship.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a time where God has set aside. Hey, you know what I realize today that we're living in, especially with the COVID and China virus, whatever you want to call it, and you don't want to make fun of people, amen, you do what you need to do. I've never tried to force people to come to church during COVID.
Amen.
Never have, amen. I don't want your life on my conscience, amen. If you was to come and you'd get the COVID, and God help me if you did, and then you would die from it like many have, amen. Hey, but you know what? I believe we're kind of on the downslope of that thing, and I believe you ought to be cautious and try to do what you think's best for your life. Hey, but sooner or later, it's time to get out and do something for God, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You need to make precautions. You need to do what you need to do to kind of get it behind you. Miss Ashley sitting back there tonight. Hey, she just prayed and prayed and asked the church to pray that this thing can get over. She can get back to church. Oh, how she loves to come worship God. Hey, the way God's people are to want to worship God. And we prayed and we prayed, and then finally it come to pass. She got her shots, and now she's outside being able to worship God. Hey, I believe you ought to work on trying to get yourself back to where God would have you to be.
Amen.
Church is important for your life. Do you know what? A lot of people wasn't deceived about what the government was doing. And I don't want to spend about the government and get political with you, but you know what? There's a lot of people who are not deceived what the government was doing and what they're still trying to do. How they're trying to push in socialism. How this thing of the virus is trying to get one out of the office and put another one in, and all that kind of garbage that people realize and they saw. But you know what I realized people did not see? They didn't see what the devil was doing.
Amen.
Now, they caught on what the government was doing. Good. I'm glad you saw it. Amen. I believe you ought to see the light. Amen. Hey, but you know what we've got? What we've missed? We missed what the devil was doing. And you know what the devil has done? He's blinded us to the place of worship that is important in our life. Hey, thank God we stream our services live. Hey, thank God for people that are shut in can still hear the Word of God and still be fed the Word of God. Hey, but there ought to come a time in your life that you ought to be making preparation, hey, to get back out of the shelter, amen, and get back into the place that I know God has set aside for God's people to meet and worship, amen. Hey, church is important for your life. It's important for your family. It's important for your spouse. It's important. We need that camaraderie, amen. Hey, you need that fellowship. You need that exhortation. You need that iron sharpeneth iron. Hey, we need the house of worship. Hey, just something about the meeting place. Hey, some things, you know, you can't put a finger on it all the way, but they're just something special about meeting with God's people to worship.
Amen.
We was just talking about it the other day. Me and one of the deacons was talking about how the Word of God can get up, and Brother Tim can get up, and we start our services out just with the book being open and reading what thus saith the Word of God. And it's amazing how a man can get up and just open that book and just read exactly what that said, and that thing can begin to jump off the Scriptures and enlighten your mind. You know what? I can read my Bible at home and it can jump off the Scriptures and lighten my mind. You know what? You can do that. You've done that. Open up the book and hey, you can get in your prayer closet at home and God can meet with you. I know He can do that. Hey, you be riding down the road and listening to a song, listening to some preaching or something to do with God, and God can do something in your car. I know you can meet with God anywhere in worship, but I'm here to tell you, I've been around this thing a little while and I know some of you have also. Hey, thank God for the times I've met with Him at home and met with Him in the car and even in a street corner. It doesn't matter. You can meet with God, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like meeting with Him down the house of God. Hey, just something special about that place when you get where God has put you and get around God's people and begin to worship God and lift Him up and preach His book and sing about Him, that God moves in and does something special. Hey, we need the house of God. Hey, you need to go down to the house of God. Hey, we need to set aside things in our life to try to make it happen.
Amen.
Amen. For a long time, we had several like this. Some here today, Miss Pam, hey, was out a long time with the COVID situation. The pills, amen. And you understand people that have other things going on and they need to do what they need to do. And we still have some that are still not out. But I'm exhorting you by the word of God. Hey, we need to try to do what we can to get back to normal and get back to worshiping God according to this book right here. Church is important. Hey, they went down and they prayed. Jesus said it's called, Matthew 21:13. He said, my house is called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Amen. And it's amazing how you begin to read that thing through the Gospels where Jesus said, my house. And before long, Jesus said, it's your house. Yeah. Do you know what you can do at God's house? You can make it your house.
Amen.
I heard a preacher say one day, the other day I was listening to him preach about things. And he said, you know what? You know, it's something if somebody says, that's my church. You know, like that's where I go. There's not the thing wrong with that, you know. But when you begin to think it's mine, I own it. I run the shot. I run the show. I call the shot. Then we got a problem. Amen. Hey, man, this ain't my house. This might be the one I worship in, but it don't belong to me. I'm the pastor here, but this church don't belong to me. Hey, the deacons, this is where they go to church. This is their church, but it ain't their church.
Right.
Hey, the members, this is where you go, but this ain't your, this is God's place, man. A set-aside place where God's people can worship God. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. It's not about you and me, amen. Hey, we better be careful when we begin to make it ours, and then when it's ours, we don't need him. Many of people's made a many a worship place theirs instead of God's. Amen. Hey, we need church. They went to church. Going to the house of prayer. Hey, number one, you need to go. Well, you can't stress that enough. Amen. You don't want to step on nobody's toes. But hey, the truth is the truth. Hey, we need to get back to worshiping God.
Amen.
At the place of worship. Hey, not only do I see they went to church, I see that they live church outside of church. You know, a lot of people go to church, but they don't live it. I believe you go to church, you have to live it outside like you do it inside.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse number 2, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Hey, you know what I realize about John here and Peter? That they lived church outside of church. Hey, you know, this lost man had a condition, but he realized that those guys had something that they could give to him. Now, they didn't really know what he actually could do for them, but that he knew they could do something for him. I mean, we know that the guy was down there at the temple gate, and we know he was asking alms. He wanted a handout. He wanted a free ticket. He wanted a free meal. He wanted some money to do well. Who knows what he was going to do with it, but he knew where he could go where people would be generous enough to give to him. And maybe he took it to his advantage. Maybe he was abusive about it. We really don't know what he was about it. We just know he laid there. But when Peter and John saw him, they saw this guy and he needed alms. And I'm sure that he maybe needed something neat, but they saw he needed something more than that. Hey, man, you know what you need to realize with this whole world? Hey, they need something more than what they're asking for. Hey, they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Hey, he used the opportunity to get that man to see his need for Jesus, amen. Hey, outside these doors, we need to realize people need Jesus, amen. Hey, he was a certain individual. You know what happens? I always thought about that thing, and sometimes the Holy Ghost kind of reminds me of it. Hey, he was a certain man. You know, when they get a certain age, we get a little more callous to them. We don't know how old this individual was, but he was a man. Probably with indication. You know, I hate to speculate on the word of God. I'd rather just preach what thus saith the book, of course. But you know, you see people all the time, if they get 50 and 60 and asking alms, you think, why don't that sorry rascal get a job? But if it's a little woman over there with a little baby, your heart's a little more tender. You know what? Even though this guy maybe was up in age, and we need to be careful not to get hard-hardened towards people.
Amen.
The Bible said a certain man, you know, I don't care how old he was, but you know who that man was? He was somebody, some mom and daddy's boy.
Amen.
You know, we get to look at it in the right way, it might change the way we feel towards people.
That's right.
Hey, that old girl out there that might be a harlot and selling her body, you know what it is? She's some mom and daddy's little daughter. Yeah, she might be older right now, and I understand you ought to have to give an account of the way you live your life. Hey, but what about that mom and daddy that's maybe praying for that little girl out there on the street or that man out there on the street? Hey, even in our county, you're seeing it more often, people on the streets.
Right.
And I know a lot of them just kind of trying to milk the system and get what they can out of it. But you know what? When we take the time to get them to see the need for Jesus, hey, we were lost without God one day. Yeah. It might not have been the avenue we went on, but we were doing our thing also. But somebody cared for us. Yeah. What about when you look at them? That's somebody's mom and that's my mom and daddy's boy. That's some mom and daddy's girl, amen. That's out there that's wasted their life that needs God, amen. He was a certain man that needed help. Hey, you need to live it outside the church. The Bible said that he had this condition from conception. He lay daily, amen, at the temple. He was crippled. He was carried. Here's a couple C's. He couldn't help himself. He was close, but he wasn't in. Isn't it amazing how some people get close, but they never get in? That's kind of sad right there. When you get right up to it. When I think about getting close and not getting in, I even think about the devil himself, Judas Iscariot. He got real close. I mean, he got so close he kissed the cheek of Jesus. You know who Jesus is? He's the door to heaven. That's pretty close right there. I think he even got a little bit even closer than you kind of really imagine, because when he kissed the face of Jesus that day, do you know that was the day Jesus was out in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, and the Bible said his sweat came as great drops of blood? Do you know why you get into heaven? It's because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what I believe the devil kissed that day? The blood of Jesus. That's running down his face from his sweat became his great drops. That's real close without getting in, amen. And he went out and hung himself and went to hell, amen. Hey, some people get real close, but they never get in, amen. He's laying right outside the gate. There he was within reach, but he was in a mess. Hey, you know what I know about this guy? He watched those guys. Bible said in verse 3, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He was watching them. Do you know the world's watching you? Do you know what I know about that? When it comes to going to the house of prayer, hey, you ought to go. But number two, you ought to live it before you go. They were outside the temple and he was watching them. Hey, your neighbors are watching you. Our co-workers are watching us. You say, well, I just kind of live for myself and do whatever I want to. Yeah, that's right, but you're wrong. Amen. You're not put here to live for yourself. We're put here to lose something for somebody else. Amen. God put the spirit of ministering into our hearts. Amen. Hey, you ought to care about those co-workers and those people you rub shoulders with every day. Hey, we are to live church outside of church. Amen. Amen. Do you know why the world was so turned upside down in the early book of Acts and the early church age? It's because people live what they believed.
Amen.
We live in an age today people might believe something, but it's just hard to find them living it.
Amen.
You ought to live it. Go into the house of prayer. You ought to go, but you ought to live it outside the church. You know what I know about these boys? They were God conscious of what went on outside. Man, you don't need to get blinded. Boy, it's easy to get blinded, ain't it? As we said earlier about how people get their mind on the government and everything that's going on. I've said it a while back about witnessing and trying to give the gospel out to the world. Hey, most of God's people, saved people, even good people that are going to heaven just like you and I, that are born again. Hey, the devil blindsided us. And for the past year, all we've ever talked about was COVID and the election. And the whole world's going to hell around us, and we ain't witnessed nobody about Jesus. We ain't told nobody about the way to glory. We not hand out gospel tracts like we used to and witness like we used to. Why? Because the devil got us so caught up in this old stinking world.
Amen.
I believe you ought to try to voice your opinion and do what's right, but there's something bigger than this old world.
Amen.
This world's going to burn away one day. What about glory? What about eternity? What about people's souls?
Yeah, amen.
They were God conscious of what was going on outside. Amen. You know what? You know what? Hey, God ought not just to be a part of your life. He ought to be your life.
Amen.
That's right. Hey, God ought to be. You know what I know about Peter and John? God was their life. Amen. You got some people, you know, God's a part of it. He's got a little section, but what about him being your life? Your life ought to be about God. Your life ought to be about him. They were God conscious about what was going on. The Bible said in verse 4, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, look on us. They realized the need of this individual. Hey, they realized that the world was going to hell without God. I mean, I believe one of the things that stirred up the early church so much is they believed the realness of hell and the torment of people that were going there. You know what? We've lost that thing about hell. People don't even talk about it much.
Man.
Hey, the perverted Bibles of the day have taken it away and watered it down.
Amen.
Somebody said any time you ever find a preacher trying to water down hell, you better think about it. He might be heading there himself. You try to air condition hell. Maybe you're trying to make it good for when you get there. There ain't no air conditioning in hell. There ain't nothing good about hell. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's people down there burning today without God, amen, and begging for mercy to get out, amen. But they can't.
Amen.
We got the example of one of it in Luke 16. It made me like make it a parable. It is a literal truth. There's a real man that went down there and was burning in hell. Hey, that saw Lazarus over there. Hey, when paradise was in the heart of the earth, and he begged Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger to tool his tongue. Then he begged him to go back and tell his brothers that they wouldn't go. Hey, what about your brothers and sisters and parents and in-laws and outlaws and neighbors and foes? Amen. People need God.
Yeah, amen.
And they're going to hell without Jesus Christ. You know what we need to do? We need to, just like Peter and John did. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give unto thee.
Yeah, amen.
Are you giving the world Jesus? You know what, the truth be told? We give them a whole lot, but we don't give them Jesus. We need to be God conscious about what's going on and try to help those that are in need to see their need for Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about giving out to everyone that's begging you money. Hey, the principle here is they didn't even give them no money. You know what I believe, honestly, sometimes you can give people money just to help them keep living like hell. You know that to be true. Hey, the more you hand out to them, the less they're going to try to get things right. They're just going to keep doing what they're doing as long as they can get money to do it. It's when the prodigal over there in the hog pen that no man gave to him is when he came to himself.
Amen.
And maybe if some people would just quit handing out, amen, maybe people would fall on the back low enough to say, man, I need to get out of this mess. This ain't working.
Right.
But as long as I can get a dollar here and a dollar there and get a drink here and a tote there, then what's it matter? I know not all like that, but a lot of them are. We need to be God conscious about what we're doing. Amen. Hey, what about picking them up one day and taking them down there and buying them a biscuit and set across the table and tell them about Jesus, how he changed your life?
Amen.
You say, preacher, they wouldn't do nothing with it but eat the biscuit and then go out and spend the rest of their money. They might. But you know what? They got to do something with that word.
Amen.
That's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Hey, that's right, brother. It won't come back void. Hey, you never know what it might do in somebody's life. Hey, you need to get God conscious about what's going on. Amen. Hey, a lot of people going to church, but that's all they're doing is going to church. They go into the house of prayer, but that's about all they do is go to the house of prayer.
Amen.
They went. They lived it outside. They were God conscious of what was going on. They wanted to help this individual. He said in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Hey, you know the gospel still changes lives? Going to the house of prayer. Let me give you this one. You know what else they did? They brought others with them.
Yeah.
You ever try to bring anybody with you? We said something Wednesday night. You know, try to bring somebody with you. Thank God some of them showed up. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
You say, but I invited somebody that didn't show up. That's okay. You done your part. You can't make nobody do nothing.
Right.
But you know what? I believe you ought to be concerned about wanting to bring somebody with you. The Bible said they brought him in, and he leaping and stood and walked. Hey, they don't know, he told him about Jesus Christ, but he said, man, this will help you too. Come on. And he went in with them. Hey, do you try to bring anybody with you? Do you know what? You might have to go out the way. You know how much easier it would have been for Peter and John just to walk on into the temple and pray like they always did? But this time they had to take time to bring this other guy with them. Do you know why a lot of times we don't bring nobody? Because it's too inconvenient. Oh, man, I got mine, and you know, why ain't that a sorry attitude? What about somebody else? What if somebody would have never was concerned about you coming? Somebody getting you under the word of God and God changing your life. You know, I believe a lot of times we get so starchy in our Christianity, we forget what hellhole we came out of.
Amen.
And brother said something this morning about forgiving one another. And you know what the Bible says? Where much is given, much is required. He that forgiveth much, loveth much.
Amen.
You know what every once in a while wouldn't hurt us to do is think about how much God forgave me.
Amen.
I ought to be in hell today.
Amen.
But God forgave me.
Amen.
And now I can't be concerned about somebody else because I'm so busy doing my thing. They was concerned. They brought him with them. The Bible said they walked in and worshiped God together, praising God. You know what? They not only went to church and lived it outside of church and was conscious about what went on outside, but they brought others with them. And when they got there, they affected the service. Hey, the whole service changed that day when they showed up. People said, well, I hope God shows up. Man, what about bringing him with you?
Amen.
That's right. I mean, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you born again, right? I ain't wanting for him to show up. Man, he come with me. You know, he's bragging on me. He come with you if you saved too.
Amen.
Holy Ghost lives inside of you. You know what I know about that old book? Anytime God showed up, they knew he was there.
Yeah.
That was some Robinson County slide. They knew he was there. Y'all hear that come out? Amen. They knew. Did they know? No, is it noise that he's in the house? When you show up, are you excited about what God has done? Are you excited about what he's going to do? When they begin to sing and lift up the Lord, do you praise the Lord? You're not ashamed. They affected the service. The Bible said they went in. The Bible said in verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Amen. He's excited about what God had done for him. The Bible said in verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Hey, the world knew this boy wasn't what he used to be. You ought to be ashamed to let the world know you're not what you used to be. God has moved in and changed your life. Hey, when you show up, it ought to affect the service, amen. Hey, it affected the service, amen. Hey, you know what else I see when they went to church? They gave heed to the preaching. Do you know what you ought to do? You ought to give heed to preaching. James said, not be hearers of the word, but doers also.
Amen.
A lot of people hear, but they don't do. Verse number 12, the Bible said that Peter and John used that opportunity to preach Jesus Christ to that whole crowd. I mean, and then they didn't beat around the bush neither. I'm talking about old time Holy Ghost filled preaching. Devil stopping kind of stuff, you know. Name calling. They didn't. You think they? You people say, man, I wish we'd get preaching like we used to get. No, you don't. They the person in this place won't preaching like they used to get. John the Baptist showed up in this place and started calling you out. Man, you'd go down the street and find you another church. You'd be all the time. I wish we'd get it like they used to. Yeah, you know what John the Baptist used to do when they walked in and he knew they was full of hell? He'd say, hey, about Mr. Viper? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Amen.
How'd you like it? A preacher get up and call you out and he know what you've been doing. Didn't beat around the bush with it and try to, you know, sideways get it in there, the Holy Ghost and get a hold of you. He just called their names out. Who you think you are coming out here wanting to get baptized and been living like hell last night? We don't want it like that. Let's be honest, amen. But you know what they did? Look at the Bible said in verse number 12 in chapter 3. The Bible said, and when Peter saw it, he answered the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? They marvel that this guy has been healed. And why look ye so earnestly on us as though we have by our own power or holiness made this man to walk? Then he gets to getting with them. Verse 13, and God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Hey, they were there worshiping, wondering about this old guy that was lame, that's been healed. And Peter and John used the opportunity and said, hey, boys, hey, listen to me. You're marveling at this. You ought to be marveling at the fact that y'all killed Jesus. Pilate wanted to let him go. And you said, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. That's calling names, ain't it? Look at the Bible said in verse number 14. But ye denied the Holy One. That's personal. And the just and desired of murder to be granted unto you. He's calling them out for their sin. You've crucified the Holy One. Not too many days ago, y'all hung him on a tree. He was God. And you killed him. Verse number 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. He said, you know what? You thought you got him, but he got up.
Amen.
And you know what that means? You're going to give an account.
Yeah, amen.
You're going to face him.
Amen.
And the Bible said in verse 16, and the name through faith in his name had made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I woke that through ignorance you did it, as did all your rulers. Maybe ignorant. You didn't really realize what you were doing, but you crucified the Savior. Do you know what? You know what preaching ought to do? It ought to help your ignorance.
Amen.
You might think, you know, I didn't see that, but you're right. I see it now. That guy that was crucified, that we all mocked and asked for Barabbas, and now the Holy Ghost through the man of God saying that was Jesus, that was the Savior, that was the Prince of Life, and God got him up from the dead. And now through ignorance, you ought to say, you know what? He's right. You ever went to church? Remember when you were lost? And the man of God took the word of God, and through ignorance you lived like hell, and then you realize, man, I'm guilty before God. I got to give him an answer. And through that ignorance, you repented to God.
Amen.
And God changed your life. You know what a lot of people do nowadays? When they're called on the spot for their ignorance, then they want to blame somebody else. We don't want to do that repentance thing. We'd rather justify our actions or maybe blame somebody else. You know how you get right? Repent. Going to the house of prayer. Hey, of course we ought to go. Of course we ought to live it outside. We ought to be God conscious about what's going on. Amen. We ought to give heed to the preaching. Amen. Hey, there ought to be some repentance.
Yeah.
Yeah, verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted. I understand the context of what's going on in that age with the dispensation, but repentance is still a truth that ought to be preached today.
Amen.
You know what Thomas Adams said? Repentance is the change of mind, and regeneration is the change of man. You can change your mind about a lot of things until you repent to God and God changes the man or the woman. There's never going to be any change in your life. There needs to be regeneration. Not reformation. A lot of people preach reformation, you know. That's turning from your sin. Because you know what, preacher? You're right. But you don't turn to God.
Amen.
How many people come to church and they hear the message and say, that's right, and I don't need to be doing that. But they never turn to God. That's what they call reformation. Repentance is a desire to have the problem solved. You know what? I'm guilty before God and I need help. Acts 16, Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? That's repentance. I need the problem solved.
Amen.
You repent, God will change your life. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Paul said about the Thessalonian church? How they turned to God from idols. That's repentance. I don't need this mess. I need God. You know what repentance is? It's the attitude that I am guilty. I'm guilty. I'm the problem. It's not the things that I do. It's me that does them. You know what a lot of people try to do is just try to check off things that they do. But true repentance is getting the thing fixed that causes the things that you do. And the thing is you and me. Salvation will change your life. Repentance towards God, and God will move inside of you and give you a new man. Turning from sin to the Savior.
Amen.
Biblical repentance to salvation is sorrow for what you are. You know what I was? I was a hell-bent sinner. He said, but what about all the things? Yeah, they were just fruits of what I was until the Lord came in and saved my soul. You know what you need if you're here and you're lost? You need God to move in and change your life. How's that done? Repentance. What about us as children of God? Maybe some things is in our lives that's hindering us going down to the house of prayer like we should. What about repentance? What about turning it over to God? What about maybe waking up to the reality of what's really going on and get back God conscious in our lives? People need God. And God wants to use you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to your heart. These altars are open.